those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome. I have some good news for you if you like to walk. For your exercise, if you like to get out and walk, and that's what you do to work toward your recommended 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity exercise, if you're a walker, pick up the pace, because picking up the pace while walking is linked to a lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes. A faster walking speed is associated with fewer heart disease risk factors, including higher insulin resistance. So the faster you walk, the less likely you are to be insulin resistant. You're less likely to be overweight, and you're less likely to have high blood pressure. People that walk at a faster pace typically have better cardiorespiratory health and overall functional capacity, as well as better lower limb and core strength compared to those that don't walk at an increased speed. Diabetes affects millions of people worldwide. More than 95% of people who are diabetic have type 2 diabetes. Managing that condition, generally, lifestyle changes are the first recommendation, diet and exercise. But a new study shows that walking at a speed of about 2.5 miles per hour or higher is linked to a reduced risk of type 2 diabetes. And this was published this week in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. The findings also demonstrated that when the walking pace was higher than 2.5 miles an hour, diabetes risk decreased, and as the speed went up by about another 0.5 mile per hour, the risk was lowered by 9%, additional 9%. So habitual walking protects you, and the slowest walking speed to reduce the risk was 2.5 miles per hour. That's 87 steps per minute for men and 100 steps per minute for females. And you fast walking, why does it benefit you? It strengthens the heart. It helps it relax, so it's more efficient. It also promotes blood vessel health, and it helps boost the production of nitric oxide, which is a chemical that improves blood flow. It's a vasodilator. It lowers blood pressure. And the faster you walk, you have a reduced presence or severity of heart disease risk factors, like I mentioned, insulin resistance, but also being overweight and having high blood pressure. Higher intensity exercise requires a greater utilization of blood sugar. So if you're a person who trends a little high on blood sugar levels, getting out and walking at a brisk pace, you're going to burn that. Now, to gauge your walking speed, you can use a pace device like a wearable monitor, like a Fitbit or a Garmin. Set your goal pace, and the device will GPS monitor you to make sure you're keeping at the correct, faster pace. A smartwatch can do the same thing. All of this means that you're slowing down the process of aging on your body. So remember that 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity exercise, meaning you're just a little bit short breath, or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise. So pick up the pace when you're out for your walk. And pick up whole grain bread rather than white bread, because 3 or more servings of whole grains may help to slow cognitive decline. Eating more whole grains as part of your diet. People are living longer, But people are a little freaked out about losing it, about cognitive decline when they get to be older. And health researchers are still looking to understand the factors that protect against cognitive decline. Side note here, everything that protects your heart when you're younger protects your brain when you're older. So there's a little heads up. So life's essential eight, remember those. But what factors put people more at risk for cognitive decline is another thing that people are trying to understand. So this study found that consuming higher levels of whole grains was associated with slowed cognitive decline. There were 3,000 participants, and eating more than 3 servings of whole grains daily was linked to a slower rate of cognitive decline. So you can buy whole grain bread. Just make sure that it is 100% whole grain. So, you know, read the label of the bread that you're buying, and you can have oatmeal for breakfast, and you can cook grains instead of a white rice side dish or a white pasta side dish. Use the grains themselves, quinoa, amaranth, barley, combinations of whole grains, which are available now. When you go into the aisle in the store where the rice is, and you've got all of those Uncle Ben's this and that, the convenience little packs that you can now put in the microwave and cook for 90 seconds, and it's ready to eat, so it couldn't be easier. There are now combinations of whole grains there, and they're delicious, and they can be the base of a grain bowl, which can be a great meal. You know, you roast up some veggies, or you steam up some veggies. Maybe you want some salmon or some tuna. Maybe you want some, you know, lean, small amount of beef in there, but you can make a grain bowl with a base of whole grains, and if it's more than half a cup, because a serving is half a cup, then you might have 2 servings in there. And when you make a tuna sandwich, if you're using whole grain bread and there's 2 slices, there's 2 more servings. So it's really not that hard to shop in a way that has whole grains in your pantry rather than refined and processed grains. So the notion is that we, you know, we put these things in place when we're doing our grocery shopping, because then you're going to have things that are handy to grab that are convenient to make that don't take all day. It really is so easy now to have healthy ingredients on hand. Whole grain pasta is another great option. It's chewier, but that's a good thing. That is a good thing, because the grains, the whole grains, have got fiber, soluble fiber and resistant starch. And the benefit of that is slowing the release of blood sugar after the meal. Fat, fiber, and protein are the 3 macronutrients that stabilize blood sugar levels longer after a meal, where the ultra-processed foods and the refined carbs, the blood sugar spikes up, and then it drops again, hopefully, if you've got insulin working. If not, it stays high, and that's dangerous. But when you have whole grains, it's like putting the brakes on the release of glucose after a meal so that you have a steady level of glucose to fuel your muscles and fuel your activity. Less likelihood that flood of glucose is going to result in it being converted to triglycerides and stored as fat, which is what becomes of chronically elevated blood sugar, but not before it damages your blood vessels and your eyes and your organs. So whole grains, it's a very important part of the DASH diet or the MIND diet or the Mediterranean diet, and it is woefully missing from the typical American diet. But people that eat more than 3 servings, big reduction in risk of cognitive decline, which is awesome. We're going to go out to a break. This is Food for Thought. I'll be back with you in about 2 minutes with lots of other good stuff to share today. So stay here. Wait for me. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about cod liver oil. Our cod liver oil is sustainably sourced from the highest quality wild Arctic cod off the coast of Norway and has won numerous awards for its taste and quality. 1 teaspoon provides 1,100 milligrams of omega-3s, which support heart, brain, vision, joint, and immune health. Try it in lemon, green apple, fruit splash, or natural flavor. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about enhanced mobility. At Carlson, we take joint health seriously. That's why we offer Enhanced Mobility, a unique, high-potency blend of nature's most recognized nutrients for joint health, like Boswellia, curcumin, ginger, and tart cherry. 2 soft gels taken daily promote healthy joint function and mobility. Here's to healthier joints and a happier you. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only 1 easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I wanted to talk a little bit about sleep and things that impact it, and particularly like how one night's loss of sleep impacts your brain. The research shows that short-term sleep deprivation affects dopamine, which regulates sleep and mood. So brief sleep deprivation holds insights into how this key chemical in the brain, dopamine, affects sleep and mood in people that have mood disorders such as depression and bipolar. Dopamine is also one of the factors that impacts people that have attention deficit disorder. They have challenges with dopamine function. So dopamine is elevated during wakefulness, and then it reduces during sleep. And exactly how it's involved, we're not absolutely sure. We just know that it is involved. So there are some people that, when they do sleep studies, can stay up for multiple days with minimal stress. But there are a lot of other people who do not and who are tired and wired, which is the effect that staying up all night typically has in humans. In psychiatry, they understand that one more unusual treatment for depression can be a night of no sleep. So with the wired end, it's kind of a reset tool, but it's not recommended for long-term use because there are negative mental health impacts of sleep deprivation. Long periods of sleep deprivation trigger severe symptoms for people that have bipolar. They also increase anxiety, and they decrease cardiovascular function. So it's probably not the best idea to allow yourself to be sleep deprived. So I have some thoughts about things that you can take by themselves or combined, other than the sleep hygiene, which I've talked about so many times that you've got to be tired of hearing about it now, but, you know, a very dark room, cooler temperature, putting down digital devices a couple of hours before bedtime, turning off the TV, a routine sleep time, a routine wake time, watching out for noise, but taking advantage of white noise if that is helpful for you. So, you know, some of those thoughts as far as sleep hygiene is concerned. But melatonin is one thing. Particularly when we get beyond our 30s, melatonin production declines, particularly in people who are depressed because they probably are also having some impaired serotonin system functioning, and serotonin begets melatonin. So if, you know, if depression is an issue, it's likely that melatonin is not where it should be. And you can go with bigger doses of melatonin. There's a 2.5 milligram dose that we have at Carlson. It's a gummy. And I even know people that will do 2 of those. But I also have to say that I find a lot more success microdosing melatonin at 300 micrograms, which we also make the 300 microgram melatonin dose. And it's got a lighter touch, but it's certainly effective for helping a person get to sleep. But that's a dose that you could keep an extra one on the nightstand, and if you find yourself awake at 1 a.m., take another one. It's not going to make you sleep through the alarm. Another thing is glycine, the amino acid glycine. I use a glycine powder. Carlson makes it. It's a little tub of glycine powder. It has a little scoop in there. Stir it into the last glass of water that I drink at night. And what glycine does is it reduces the amount of time that it takes to fall asleep, but it makes you feel more alert and more wakeful the next day. And one of the interesting subtle effects of glycine is a lowering of core body temperature, which helps you sleep. So I have the glycine and the melatonin, and I like to use magnesium glycinate, which relaxes the muscles so that you're settling down. I take one at dinner time, and I take another one with that glass of water with glycine in it at bedtime. Now, I also will say that there is another element called GABA, gamma amino butyric acid, and it's in a formula that Carlson makes that is called Totally Zen. It has GABA and L-theanine, which is a compound that's in green tea and black tea. And the Totally Zen can be helpful at bedtime because it also just relaxes you. It's not a sedative, but the GABA is an inhibitory neurotransmitter. And so it turns off some of the chatter and some of the noise. Now, Totally Zen is also something you can take in wakeful periods during the day because it doesn't have a sedating effect. It's just a take-the-edge-off kind of thing. But Totally Zen can be used at night with melatonin and with glycine in order to really set the stage for a good night's sleep. Now, something to consider, alcohol and caffeine hurt sleep quality and quantity. So insufficient sleep is really getting to be a worldwide health issue. There was certainly a lot of stress during the pandemic, and there was a lot written about disruptions in sleep because of all of the stress. But people that have sleep issues typically use caffeine during the day to stay awake and alcohol at night to help them sleep. researchers from the University of Washington School of Medicine found people that use both caffeine and alcohol don't perceive that there's a reduction in their sleep quality, but that is a false perception, which can lead to habitual self-medicating cycle that people don't recognize, and it leads to poor sleep. About a third, this is an estimate, but about a third of the world's population is affected by insomnia symptoms. Around 70 million Americans have a sleep disorder. And so the caffeine during the day, the alcohol in the evening. Alcohol is a stimulant, so it doesn't lead to better sleep. And in fact, one of the things that can happen, a higher alcohol consumption level is associated with poorer sleep quality, and it disrupts sleep by contributing to abnormalities in circadian rhythms and increasing breathing-related sleep issues like apnea. Daytime use of caffeine can delay the onset of REM sleep, and it harms overall sleep quality. Each cup of caffeine reduces sleep quantity by 10 minutes. And the impact of that, that's something to be concerned about. It's not the quantity that alcohol does as much as it is the quality of sleep gets disrupted with alcohol. So just to know that if you're using caffeine and alcohol to make up for the fact that you're not sleeping well, that's probably not helping you. And so, maybe consider a different approach. I do recommend cutting off caffeinated beverages by noon for most people, because it takes, in some cases, quite a while to work that caffeine through the central nervous system and metabolize it and get it gone so that it isn't impacting you. If you're a tea drinker, most of them are available in a decaffeinated form, or that are just naturally caffeine-free. But be careful. Be careful with caffeine after morning time so that you're not shorting yourself as far as quantity of sleep or the ability to settle down into sleep. Another thing to think about with all of this is, how's your liver? How is your liver doing? Because your liver ultimately needs to process the alcohol and or the caffeine in your system to go ahead and eliminate it. So you want to make sure, when you go for your checkup every year, you want to make sure that you're paying attention to the subtle signs of liver function in your blood work, the ALT and the AST, and make sure that they're not creeping up a little bit either because of alcohol or because of medications that you're taking. Phosphatidylcholine can help your body metabolize alcohol more effectively, and that amino acid that I mentioned that helps with sleep, glycine, actually reduces the toxic influence of ethanol, which is in the wine or the beer or the vodka tonic. So that glycine plays a role of raising glutathione, which helps the liver to eliminate toxic elements, and it protects from the alcohol exposure. Time for another break and message from my sponsors. This is Food for Thought. We're here together on WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
We begin this morning in the mid to upper 30s with a few spots dipping into the low 30s. We have a light southwesterly breeze that's making it feel like it's in the low 30s under a mostly clear sky, which will diminish as we head through midday. Becoming mostly cloudy for the afternoon with developing showers early in the upper 40s to low 50s, then cloudy for tonight with periods of rain. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about maximum omega. It's a fact. Most of us don't eat enough fatty fish to reach the recommended intake of omega-3s. And that's where maximum omega comes in. Sustainably sourced from the highest quality deep cold water fish, Maximum Omega 2000 provides 2,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, and our Maximum Omega Minis boast 1,000 milligrams. Try it today. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about melatonin. Melatonin, produced by the pineal gland in the brain, is a hormone that helps regulate when we fall asleep and when we wake up. Carlson offers melatonin in delicious vegetarian gummies for adults, or strawberry lemon flavored chewables. Safe for the whole family ages 4 and up, melatonin promotes relaxation and a healthy sleep pattern. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right. Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
Well, speaking of fish oils, I wanted to talk about other foods. We talked about the whole grain servings that can help reduce the risk of dementia. But are there other things? Because there's no cure at this point for dementia, but a balanced, nutritious diet can help to lower a person's risk of developing dementia or delay its progression. So dementia affects around 14 million adults by the middle of this century. So it's on the rise, and there's not a single food that prevents dementia, but certain lifestyle choices like exercising regularly, eating a balanced diet can reduce the risk of developing dementia. So, DHA, omega-3s, you know the fatty fish, it's salmon, mackerel, anchovies, herring, sardines, those are the best omega-3, the highest omega-3 fish. Tuna's got a lot of omega-3 also. But omega-3s are essential for brain development and brain cell communication, and brain development goes on throughout life. It's not just something that happens in children. We are renewing our brain in every decade of life. DHA, in particular, may be vital for brain function and cell growth, so regularly consuming fatty fish supports brain function and reduces the risk of cognitive decline and dementia. Leafy greens contain antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals that benefit brain health. study just this year associated high homocysteine levels, another thing you can look at on a blood test, with an increased risk of cognitive impairment in people recovering from COVID-19. Homocysteine attacks the blood vessel walls, and that happens when you don't have the right nutrients in place to fully metabolize your proteins. So folate, leafy greens are rich in folate, which is a B vitamin that helps to reduce homocysteine levels in the blood. B12, folate, B6 are all nutrients that protect you against elevated homocysteine. Leafy greens are linked to fewer signs of Alzheimer's disease in the brain. Berries are rich in antioxidants, including flavonoids, which help to protect the brain from oxidative stress and inflammation. Regular consumption of blueberries, for example, improves cognitive function and delays age-related cognitive decline. Blueberries, DHA, and the lutein in spinach also protect your eyes as you age. So good for the brain, good for the eyes. Nut consumption. Last year, a study linked consistent high nut consumption with a lower risk of cognitive impairment. Healthy fats are in the nuts. Antioxidants are in the nuts. Turmeric, which is a kind of yellow-orange spice that's in curries, contains curcumin, which is an active compound with anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, and curcumin has neuroprotective effects and can contribute to better brain health. And the whole grains that I mentioned before, with the complex carbohydrates that release glucose gradually, providing a steady energy supply to the brain. Whole grains help improve short and long-term memory and brain aging. And, you know, reiterating the study that I talked about earlier, the consumption of whole grain foods is a lower risk of all-cause dementia and Alzheimer's disease dementia. Avocados are a source of very healthy monounsaturated fats, which contribute to improved blood flow and brain health. Avocados impact cognitive performance in older adults. People that consumed avocados had significantly better scores across all of the cognitive tests than those that did not eat avocados. So pick up some avocados in the market this weekend to feed your brain. They're so healthy for you. And don't worry about the fact that they're high in calories or that they're high in fat. That is fat that your body is hungry for. Lean protein sources are essential for brain function because they break down into amino acids, which are used for neurotransmitter production. The neurotransmitters play a critical role in communication between brain cells. Lean protein is an important part of a balanced diet. Olive oil is a staple of the Mediterranean diet, which is also a big factor in the MIND diet, linked to lower rates of age-related cognitive decline. It's rich in monounsaturated fats and antioxidants, which supports brain health by reducing inflammation and oxidative stress. Dark chocolate, here's some good news, contains flavonoids and antioxidants that may improve cognitive function and promote better blood flow to the brain. Green tea, before noon, is rich in antioxidants, including catechins, and the catechins have neuroprotective effects and may potentially help the brain to not experience age-related cognitive decline. It's also really important to stay well hydrated. It's essential for overall health, including brain function. Dehydration impairs cognitive performance and concentration. So it's important to drink plenty of water throughout the day. So when you kick yourself off of the tea and or the coffee around midday, get on the water. Get on drinking several glasses of water. Now, there are some foods that negatively affect cognitive function. They include alcohol. Excessive alcohol consumption shortens your life, but also harms the brain and affects cognitive function. Sugary drinks. Sugar is just so bad. It just wrecks the tissues and organs. The mechanism is called glycation, and it really rapidly accelerates the aging process on all the tissues in the body. But artificial sweeteners are no better. They adversely affect brain health. Excessive consumption of red and processed meats is linked with reduced cognitive function. And ultra-processed foods, I can't bash them enough. They contain additional salt, sugars, fats, all kinds of chemicals that we can't even pronounce, and they increase the risk of dementia, they increase the risk of heart disease, they increase the risk of diabetes, multiple chronic life-shortening diseases are increased by the consumption of ultra-processed foods. Two-thirds of the calories in children in America come from ultra-processed foods, and 57% of the calories in adults come from ultra-processed foods. And the rate in adults in America of overweight and obesity is now at 70%. So it's no secret that when we are what we eat, when we eat the ultra-processed foods, the trans fats, the saturated fats, the just the unhealthy ingredients in the standard American diet, it's not going to come to a good end. So watching particularly your relatives, if you're older, yourself, for signs and symptoms, potential that might indicate a cause for talking to your doctor about cognitive decline, memory problems, changes in cognitive function, behavior or personality changes, struggling with activities of daily living, a loss of interest in grooming or your personal care. That's a real red flag. Impulsivity, and also falls or accidents. So watch your family members. There are certainly lots of lifestyle measures that improve cognitive function. Regular exercise, stress relief techniques like meditation and deep breathing. So these are all factors to pay attention to. Now, I don't talk about mushrooms very much, but lion's mane mushroom improves cognitive performance and reduces stress, even in young adults. Healthy young adults reported significant improvements in short- and long-term cognition when they took lion's mane, 1,800 milligrams per day. There are numerous bioactive compounds within the mycelia and the fruiting bodies, polysaccharides, phenolic acids. Lion's mane has antioxidant capacity, antimicrobial properties, but also neuroprotective and neuroregenerative properties. So regenerative, that goes back to that whole concept of plasticity, how the brain is regenerating, the froggy throat, at every age. It happens throughout life, not just when we're babies, not just when we're children. So lion's mane, look for a lion's mane supplement. I will share with you that I expect Carlson will have lion's mane in the very, very near future. And again, the dose for cognition was 1,800 milligrams. It was 600 milligram dose three times a day. We're going to go out to one last break from my sponsor, and then I'll be back with a lot more good information to share. Stay with me.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about omega-3 with vitamins D and K. We all know that omega-3s are key to cardiovascular and bone health. When blended with vitamins D and K, those benefits only get better. Vitamin D3 is important for heart health and calcium transport. K2, as MK7, is critical for directing calcium into the bones and activating important bone-building proteins. Try it as a liquid or a soft gel. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about Totally Zen. Have you ever felt off after a bad night's sleep, a busy few days, or even an unfortunate life event? Chances are your mind-body balance is off. Scientifically formulated with GABA, L-theanine, and B vitamins, Totally Zen can help promote calmness and mental clarity, while easing occasional nervous tension and stress, getting you back to being your best self. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. Or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I am back, and I have some... This was interesting when I read this. It's 8 healthy habits. If you adopt them by middle age, now, it benefits no matter when. So if this birthday has come and gone, it doesn't mean that you should not pay attention to this. But if you were to do these things by age 40, it could add between 23 and 24 years to your life. Not starting at age 40, meaning you only live to 63 or 64, but let's say your life expectancy is in the mid-70s, which that is the case for most of us right now. It would add 23 or 24 years to that. So 8 healthy habits adopted by middle age. Exercising, getting good sleep, and drinking in moderation could pay off not just in quality of life, but in length of life, too. So this was presented at the American Society for Nutrition's annual conference this year in Boston. And they were looking at military veterans between the ages of 40 and 99. They followed them over time, and those that adopted 8 healthy habits saw a big reduction in mortality compared to those that didn't. 40-year-olds who adopt all 8 healthy habits could gain 23 years for women, 24 years for men, and this was Harvard and VA-affiliated scientists in Boston. And so while this study was only done among veterans, it makes sense that it would benefit civilians as well. And the lifestyle factors are not new ideas for the general population. To incorporate them into lifestyle, though, it could promote general well-being. So here are the tweaks that apparently extended the lifespan of hundreds of thousands of veterans. First and foremost, never smoking. Life expectancy for smokers is at least 10 years shorter than it is for non-smokers, according to CDC. The good news is if you quit smoking before age 40, you can reduce the risk of dying from a smoking-related disease by about 90%. Being physically active, in the study, those who got 30 minutes or more of moderate or vigorous physical activity a day were considered to be physically active. Those people should be able, even in their later decades of life, to walk up a flight of stairs without getting winded. Not regularly binge drinking is item number 3. The participants whose peak daily alcoholic beverage consumption in the past month was 4 drinks or less, that's pretty generous actually, were not considered to be binge drinkers. those who consume five or more drinks in one day on their heaviest drinking day were considered to be binge drinkers. Another factor was getting good sleep. The participants who got, on average, 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night and didn't suffer from insomnia were considered to have good sleep. Insomnia was defined as having one or more of the following symptoms: difficulty initiating sleep, difficulty maintaining sleep, and or early morning awakenings along with sleep that isn't refreshing, or excessive daytime sleepiness. The fifth point was eating a healthy diet. Those that generally adhered to a plant-based diet were considered to have a healthy diet. The sixth point, living a minimal stress life. Chronic stress advances your biological clock, your epigenetic clock, potentially shortening the lifespan. Thankfully, relaxing can set that clock in reverse. So learning to find ways to deal with stress and relax as much as possible can be very, very helpful. The seventh point was having positive social relationships. Loneliness is a greater risk factor for early death than obesity and physical inactivity. It's comparable to the risk associated with smoking and drinking. Our Surgeon General declared loneliness a public health epidemic this year. And when it came to the study, participants were considered to have positive social relationships if they had someone to talk to, hug, or otherwise interact with at least 50% of the time. And the last point was avoiding opioids. U.S. opioid deaths hit a record high in 2021, seemingly fueled by pandemic isolation. Those who use opioids like hydrocodone, fentanyl, and oxycodone for more than 2 weeks are at risk for addiction. Medications exist to treat those with opioid use disorders and to make quitting more bearable. They're not always readily accessible. The three most impactful habits when it comes to extending lifespan: exercising, not being addicted to opioids, and not smoking. People who were not exercisers, who were addicted to opioids, and who smoked were 30 to 45% more likely to die during the study. Stress, binge drinking, poor diet, and not getting enough sleep were associated with a 20% increased risk of death, and loneliness was associated with another 5%. Increased risk of death. So, as I said, while adopting all eight factors by age 40 is ideal, adopting even one or a few at any point in life helps. A 60-year-old with all eight healthy habits could expect to see just under 20 years gain, and an 80-year-old could gain around 10 years. A 40-year-old with only four of the healthy habits saw about a 10-year increase in life expectancy, and an 80-year-old with only four saw around a 5-year. So it's never smoking, being physically active, not binge drinking, getting good sleep, eating a healthy diet, living a minimal stress life, and having positive social relationships. And finally, avoiding opioids. So those are the factors that will have you be here longer. And my idea is to increase not just the lifespan, not just the number of years in your life, but the health span, the number of the level of life in your years. That's what we're after. And for me, the big five is exercise, diet, sleep, mindfulness, and being social. Obviously, if you smoke, quitting is key to good health. And opioids will do you in. the reason, one of the main reasons why life expectancy has declined and did decline throughout the pandemic, other than just the obvious people that were lost to COVID, were deaths of despair, alcoholism, and drug overdoses in people who either are struggling financially, experiencing homelessness, or addicted. So, you know, those are obvious things, but assuming that those which are crisis situations are not true for you, getting exercise and eating a healthy diet, making sure that you're sleeping well, mindfulness, and being social. And, you know, to reiterate about the loneliness, loneliness is equivalent to smoking. Loneliness is equivalent to obesity. So making sure that you stay connected to your loved ones and making sure that you have a community, that you have people that you can hug, that you have people that you can call, and watching out for friends and neighbors to make sure that they do also. You know, so if you haven't heard from somebody that you typically do hear from, check on them. Check on them and see if everything's okay. You know, don't be afraid to ask the question if your loved ones are doing okay. People need to feel supported, and, you know, you're helping yourself when you're helping other people. So I thought that that was an interesting list of things. And, of course, the idea is the younger that you start on a healthy path, the bigger the payoff is, which is something that I find absolutely fascinating. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't thinking about their health when they're in their 20s or in their 30s, but that's exactly the time to start. It certainly is the time to start. So if you're a grandparent or a parent of adult children, check on them and take a look. You know, how are they doing as far as, you know, do they go to the doctor? Do they, you know, does your 20-something-year-old son or daughter or grandchild know whether or not they have high blood pressure or know whether or not they've got one or more heart disease risk factors? Because the time for young people to start on that is then, you know, as soon as it's recognized. We're out of time, so that's it for me today. I thank you for being with me, and I'll be back again next Friday with another edition of Food for Thought. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories, with your host, Jolie Root. Tune in again next time as Jolie sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The red state, blue state debate took place last night on Fox News.